technical difficulties resolved here. Good evening.
Good evening.
So grateful to have the chance to speak to you all tonight. My name is Jason Jensen. I am a member here at Church Without Walls, and I love movies. I'm going to show you the trailer to one of my recent favorites called Hero Dreams of Sushi. There are subtitles in here. If you miss some of them, don't worry about it. We'll catch a few of them later. Are you inspired just a little bit? I love how inspiring this story is. The guy's in his 80s, and he's still this learning craftsman. Again and again, kind of going back to his craft and improving it all the time. A few of the things he says: even at my age, in my work, I've not reached perfection. I'll continue to climb, trying to reach the top. No one knows where the top is. In dreams, I have grand visions of sushi. You must dedicate your life to mastering your skill. You must fall in love with your work. What if we all could be fully inspired? What if we could all give heart and soul to what we're doing in our lives? Wouldn't that be awesome? So, we're entering a series for the next several weeks called Daily Grace: Reflections on Faith, Vocation, and Work. I'm excited that in the summer we have this strange, ironic twist that we'll talk about work during vacation. Not sure exactly why we did that, but tonight I get to introduce the series by helping us think a little bit about vocation. What is vocation? How can we get our hearts and minds around that idea? Next week, Deanna Lee will speak to us about work and vocation in particular. So start getting excited about that. And let me give a shout out as well. We've got an interesting group of folks here visiting tonight. A group of students from across the country that are gathered here in the East Bay this summer to study vocation and work and following Jesus. It's an InterVarsity project, and if you guys can kind of raise your hands. So visiting students, be nice to them. Grateful these guys are here. So vocation. What the heck is that? It's not your job exactly, or it's not supposed to be just your job, but perhaps something deeper. It could include your job and whether your daily grace is parenting or teaching or leading in some fashion or being a lawyer or a doctor or any number of other things. How does that fit? How do we understand vocation within this? So here's something that I think might help us think about that together a little bit. Thanks, Dosh. Okay. All right. Listen to this for a moment and tell me afterward what you think of. All right. What did y'all think of?
The Shire.
The Shire. Hobbits. Fairy tales.
Journeys.
Journeys. Good.
Samwise Gamgee.
The faithfulness of Samwise Gamgee. Friendship. Adventure. So I want to claim that vocation is like the theme music in an epic story. It carries all of the themes of the story, the passion of the story, the story behind the story. So I love that little portion of music in part. It almost brings tears to my eyes every time because it brings up that sense, particularly of the Hobbit part of the Lord of the Rings epic. It brings up those deep, kind of the deep music behind the plot that is about friendship and character and faithfulness. I think vocation can be much like that theme music for your life, capturing feeling, capturing tone, capturing the narrative of where your life is going. Here's another angle that might help us think about vocation. Perhaps it is who we're becoming. That relates to our work, to what we're doing day in and day out, but it's deeper. It's the theme music behind that, right? Who we're becoming and the impact that is supposed to come out of our lives, what we were created for. Another angle for vocation is just the etymology of the word. Vocation is about calling. It's what we were asked to do somehow by the Creator. So those are some ideas just to frame what could vocation be. Maybe it's like the epic theme music behind the story of our lives. Maybe it's like what we were created, who we were created to become, the impact we were created to have. Maybe it's like calling. So for Hero, in that story, I think it's interesting. His vocation, as I watched through the story, it's not exactly a vocation to be the sushi chef with 3 Michelin stars or to have the best sushi restaurant in the world. But actually, if you watch through it, you see there are themes to his life. One of them is about excellence, about hard work, about improving in his craft. This guy has a passion for working hard every day, for keeping on working hard until his body completely gives out. He also, then specific to food, he has this passion about flavor. He talks about people that he thinks have a better sense of flavor than he does with envy. And he talks about his work as cultivating this nuanced sense of the very best flavor in order to provide it to his customers. And then I think there's a third theme that's about family and passing on his legacy and his values, especially the stuff about hard work and improvement, and also then about offering flavor to others. You see how vocation, it's not exactly our work or what we do, but it may be some of the passions that God gives us that are behind our work. So, what is a distinctly Christian perspective on vocation? Everybody likes to love what they do. Everybody wants to be a little bit more like Hiro Ono in our lives. But what does God think about that? Anybody want to know that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Glad you asked. Let's look at our scripture for tonight, but let's pray about that first. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, once again, we turn our attention to you. We turn our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, Word of God, Light of the world, show us the way. Holy Spirit, come and draw us to respond to you, to sense your leadership, and to follow. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speak through your word and help us to understand vocation. Help us, Lord, to make some connections for ourselves about what we're called to. Amen. Okay, so our reading was from the 3rd and 4th chapters of Luke, a biography of Jesus by a dude named Luke. This dude was a doctor and historian. Really fascinating guy. And he was a real academic, right? A medical doctor and an historian. And he was utterly convinced that Jesus is God incarnate, raised from the dead. And he wrote a biography. Interesting, huh? And in particular, from an academic, to have this biography, I find it really interesting that what's woven throughout of it, one of Luke's themes and maybe part of his vocation, was actually about the miraculous and the mystical. Read through Luke's biography of Jesus sometime and follow prayer and miracles. It's amazing. Okay, so Luke wrote this biography of Jesus, and the place we pick up is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus is just about to start the big job of his life. Now, the big job of Jesus' life, saving all of humanity and redeeming creation as we know it.
Right.
Not exactly the same as ours, but I think we can learn something about how he starts, all right? So Jesus is heading into his big job, and here's where the narrative takes us. It's a snapshot of the baptism of Jesus from chapter 3. He goes, he's baptized by John in the Jordan, And then I cut up the passage, you may notice. So I took out, there's a genealogy right after that that we didn't have read through tonight. And then right after the baptism, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness and is tempted for 40 days while he prays and fasts. And then out of that, what I actually cut out the narrative of that temptation as well, because we're not focusing on exactly what happens in the temptation. But right out of the wilderness, then Luke tells us he comes out preaching. He comes out doing his stuff out of the wilderness, and he shows up in Nazareth, and this is the first sermon he shows. So, let's see, where are we here? What about Jesus' invocation? Here's the sermon that comes out of Jesus. He's coming out of the baptism and the wilderness. He comes into Nazareth, and he starts saying to them, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." To proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, etc. Jesus comes out of the wilderness knowing for what he was anointed. Knowing to what he was sent. Okay, so there's something of hope here. Jesus didn't necessarily know all that stuff already, but he comes out knowing what God anointed him for and what God sent him to. Would you like to know what God has anointed you for? Yeah. Would you like to know what he sent you to? I would. And I think that the way Luke writes this, it helps us recognize, hey, maybe we could know that too. And maybe, as we keep looking, we can figure out, how did Jesus know that stuff? Luke gives us some clues. Ready? So the first theme of clues that Luke gives us, I think, to Jesus' vocation and how he came up with it, is the repetition of Spirit through all of this narrative. Let me get these so I don't have to turn and read them. So from the baptism, the Spirit comes down physically in the form of a dove and rests on Jesus. And then he's able to hear the voice of the Father speaking identity and affirmation into him. That's pretty amazing. Then there's this a repetition again. He came full of the Spirit out of that experience and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then when he comes into Nazareth, he's coming in the power of the Spirit back to Galilee and into Nazareth. And when he preaches, he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So there's this repetition of Spirit throughout. And these are all about some fashion of communicating with God. The Holy Spirit is the counselor, the one who our interaction with the Holy Spirit now is what allows us to communicate back and forth with God. Jesus knows the voice of the Father, the work of the Spirit in his life. And I think that helps him clue into being able to say in the end, "This is what the Spirit anointed me for. This is what I was called to." Okay, some more clues. Temptation is another theme. And this one's a little bit more of a stretch, but I think it's tied closely to how Jesus knows what he's called to. He faithfully endured temptation in the wilderness. Then he came out full of the Spirit, knowing his calling. Somehow the suffering, the gritty experience of prayer and fasting in the wilderness allowed him to get to the end of himself and helped him know his calling. He doesn't have his eyes closed to the hard things of the world around him or the hard things in him. So in this temptation, Jesus faces issues of identity, of power, and of worship in his life. Super deep, hard things are coming to him. He's grappling with the deep issues of his life and the deep issues of his society, frankly. Issues of power and identity are deep in the society Jesus is called to. He doesn't close his eyes. He engages with those fully. An author I'm currently reading about this issue of vocation is a guy named Stephen Garber. One of the things he says is, a key part to living out our vocation, our calling as Christians, is to know the world. To know the world in all of its ugliness and brokenness, and ourselves in our ugliness and brokenness, and still love the world. I think that's part of what happens for Jesus in the wilderness and why he comes out knowing something about his calling. Something about his calling that's to the poor and the blind, the broken and the suffering. So the themes of his temptation are important to his vocation. Third clue, I think, is about the word. Now this is fascinating. And it's you got to read the text closely to come up with the role of the Hebrew Scriptures in this experience of Jesus. So follow with me here. When he's tempted in the wilderness, he has answers to all those temptations, right? The devil comes and says, make these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. All of the references that Jesus brings out are direct quotations from one section of the Scriptures. Jesus, in the wilderness, while he's grappling with temptation, he's reflecting on Deuteronomy. He's soaking in his sense of God's calling on the people of Israel. And he has answers to temptations because he knows the Word. Then when he comes in to Nazareth to speak, his quote about his calling is a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus has been a student of the Hebrew Scriptures from his youth, and these are what come alive as he's communicating with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, as he's grappling with the depths of brokenness in himself and the world. What comes out and crystallizes as his sense of vocation are direct quotes from the Hebrew Scriptures. So this theme of the Word is really rich through the narrative of how Jesus comes to his sense of vocation. And we must be students of the Word if we want to have a sense of call from God. Okay, so those are some clues about how Jesus came up with his vocation, perhaps. The repetition of the Spirit throughout, his engagement in these temptations, and then the sense that the Word is in him, that he's reflecting on the Word. So, what do you think that might mean for us? Let's think about that a bit. So this theme of the Spirit in Jesus' experience, I think, leads us to the conclusion that we must seek the Lord in prayer. We're not naturally good at knowing the voice of the Father or the movement of the Spirit, right? It just, unless you're very different from me, that doesn't come naturally. we need to practice prayer. We need to learn together to pray, to listen to God, to become sensitive to the movement of the Spirit. As Christians, we are called to believe in a world infused by God's Spirit, where history has meaning and direction. Let me repeat that. Our worldview is supposed to be one where our world is actually infused by God's Spirit. The kingdom of God, initiated by Jesus, is among us. And history has meaning and direction toward a redemption where all things will be made right. And we find ourselves in that history. Now, if all of that is true, we have a place in the kingdom of God in this world, and we need to practice recognizing what the Spirit is doing in us and around us. We must learn to seek the Lord. The theme of the temptations for Jesus, I think, implies for us that we need to learn to pay attention to our lives and to the world around us. It's not with eyes closed that we find the theme music to the epic of our lives. It is out mixing it up in the world. It's not denying our issues, our compulsions, our pain, that will find the theme music to the epic of our lives. It's engaging with that stuff. It's not ignoring the poor or the marginalized or the conflicts in our world. It's engaging with all of that. So we need to learn more than we probably currently do. We need to learn to pay attention to our lives and to the world around us, to pay attention to our community. We find our vocation as we know the world and still love it. Then finally, this theme of the Word implies for us we need to learn to listen to the Word. We must be students of the Scripture if we're to be shaped in God's vision of our lives and His calling in our lives. It is confusing living in our world. And the Word can give us some perspective about that and about ourselves. This goes hand in hand with that piece of seeking the Lord in prayer, right? The people who are most attuned to the voice of the Spirit, the people who are best at listening to God, I submit to you are the people who most give themselves to studying the Scriptures. That's how we learn to hear the voice of the Spirit, to recognize the activity of the Spirit in our world. We listen to the Word, and we read the Word with our eyes open to our lives and the world around us. One last point on this. We do these things in community. Vocation, in our Christian worldview and in a biblical sense, is communal. For us, we learn what we're called to, not just by being inside ourselves and reflecting, but by engaging with the people of God around us. We need to find ways to seek the Lord in community. We need to find ways to examine our own lives and the world around us in community, and we'll see it better. And we need to open the Word and listen to the Word together in community. Let me give a couple thoughts about how that works out in life and work for us, particularly from my own story. I've been working in Christian ministry for 25 years now. It doesn't seem like it's that long, but it's moved right along. And that does not make discerning my vocation easier. nor does it for those of y'all who are in these jobs that seem like you should be really passionate about. That's not the same as your vocation. If you're a teacher or a social worker or a doctor or whatever else, or a parent for that matter, it doesn't make it easy to say, of course, oh, well, that's got to be my calling from God. No, actually, it's still really nuanced. And the themes are not the stuff, the same as the stuff you do every day. They're meant to overlap. So, over the years, I've begun to have a sense of different strands, if you will, in what I'm called to, who I'm called to become. Roughly, I've got some words to describe three different strands of that. One of those is a prophetic calling that's about justice and reconciliation and resources. That's a theme about what God's been doing in me and in my work. Another is a strand that's a missionary calling that's really about the word to those who are lost, helping the lost be found by God. And then there's another strand that's about contemplative or intercessory life. It's about prayer in some different ways. So I've had these images of these three strands that are part of my calling. But something interesting is those have never been my job. I've consistently had a job in ministry that is a job that's about leadership or management. I like leadership and management just fine, but I've never had a sense of God stamping that on my heart or that being a theme of the music behind my life. My life's not about leadership, but my job has required a lot of work in leadership. So that's been an interesting tension to be working out. For me, what it's meant is trying in community to find ways to weave the themes of my calling into what I am hired to do. And that's actually been beautiful and inspiring at a lot of points and frustrating at others. So, another part of my current story is I'm currently sensing a sort of itch in my vocation. I'm currently sensing that it's time for me to refine my understanding of what are those themes and what should those themes be. And so that's had me thinking about how do I do that? How does one kind of take yourself to the shop for a checkup on vocation? Well, some of that is just sharing with some friends, asking some good questions. And another is I've found that it's time to visit a mentor of mine who lives far away and spend a week just wandering around following this person who I respect and love, and see if something more will come out about how my vocation is being shaped at this point. So it may be that your job is far from your calling. But if your vocation is deep, if it's about what God is doing in you and in the world, if it's about who God is making you into, then it fits with what you're supposed to be doing day to day. Even in the most frustrating parts of life, perhaps most in the most frustrating parts of life, this sense of being made for something in particular, this sense of being drawn towards something, of having theme music behind the epic of your life, it can help sustain us through those difficult seasons, and it can help give us deeper joy in the ones that are really satisfying, where you feel like your life is just firing on all cylinders. Let's be committed together to helping one another find that sense of inspiration, that sense of theme of vocation in our lives. I'd love to see more for us, this sense that we dream of what God has made us for, this sense that we have energy for what God's calling us to, that we know how God is calling us to engage in the world. If you get out your connection cards, the questions are really very directly from what we've already been talking about here. The cards really are a way to reflect and a way to communicate back to church. This is what God is doing among us. They're confidential. Nobody's going to send these around to everybody. But if you have a sense of a way that God is initiating with you to seek the Lord in community, write something down about that. It helps us respond when we make a commitment. If you have a sense of how God's inviting you to be attentive to your own life and the world around you, write something down about that. Or a sense about God calling you to listen to the Word in some deeper or more consistent way. Record that. Let me pray for us once more. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us a life of deep vocation. Thanks for making this sermon at Nazareth so clear about that, that you knew that for which you were anointed and called. And thanks for the clues that Luke gives us to how you may have known that. Lord, would you help us to engage with you, to sense your movement? I pray, Lord, that little by little we would get clearer about that for which you have made each of us, that which we're called to become, the impact you've created us for in the world. Lord, help us to recognize and to live as a part of what you're doing in the world. We give ourselves, Lord, again to you in Jesus' name. Amen.